Matthew 6, 25-28. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and your body more important than clothes? Look to the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. I titled the message this morning, Faith Like Daffodils. Faith Like Daffodils. How many of you are familiar with daffodils? They're the toughest flower that I know. In fact, this year, when it was 1 degree, I got up in the morning and it was 1 degree. Not 2 degrees, it was 1 degree. And what do you think those daffodils were doing? They had faith that springtime was coming, and they were poking their little heads up out of the frozen turf and through the ice at 1 degree. Now, what hope is there at 1 degree that spring is coming? Yet, in that little bulb underneath the soil, there was an inner awareness. In the very heart of the bulb, there was faith that spring was coming, that it was safe to emerge and push through the icy barriers and to bloom, just like God intended her to. You see, in her own way, that daffodil bulb, she was connected to God and her Maker. And deep in her bulb, she believed. She believed. And she was connected. Indeed, when you think about it, that daffodil bulb is connected to God in her own way. Though rooted in the earth, she had purpose and faith in a daffodil way. So also, it is with us. Faith, the faith that we have as believers, is also directly connected to our being familiar with God, being familiar with His ways, being familiar with His face. And our faith is measured. It's a direct result of our connection with Him. He invites us. Indeed, He intends for us to consider the lilies of the field and learn, as in Matthew 6:33. When we are connected and grounded with our Heavenly Father through prayer, fellowship with Him and His people, when we feed on His Word, just as the daffodils feed on the earth in which they are planted, we can do amazing things and develop a remarkable faith at which God Himself will marvel and be astonished. I'd like to read a case in which someone had faith that God Himself, Jesus, as He walked this earth, He marveled at it. He was astonished by it. Matthew 8, verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to Him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant at home is paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, "It's okay. I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." What brought about that centurion's faith that he said, "Just speak the word. You don't have to come to my house to heal my servant. Just speak the word and it will be done. I believe you." And Jesus marveled and he was astonished that this man, who was not even an Israelite, had so much faith in him and in his Heavenly Father. I would like to take us on a little safari through Scripture so we understand what God says about us, how He thinks about us, how He supplies us, so that we too can develop that kind of faith. And we're going to start in the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 8. Verses 3 to 9. God, through David, talking about us and who we are. "When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" Good question. "You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the path of the sea. O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth." So God made us a little lower than the angels, the heavenly beings, and he crowned us with glory and honor. We're made in his image. And I'm going to say this morning that he intends us to have faith just like the centurion did, at which God himself marvels and is astonished. He intends that. I would like to talk about one of my favorite songs. It's a song by the name of "Anything is Possible." "Anything is Possible" by Gary Chapman. I'm just going to read the phrases and we'll talk about them a little bit. It's talking about the development of faith, the things that happen so that anything is possible. What has to happen for anything to be possible for us who are crowned with glory and honor? It goes like this. "By the way, I would love to sing this song for you. If I was David or Lynn even, I would sing this song." No, I'm not going to try it. "Some people will look out at the ocean, but never set foot on this past the shore. While others set sail and never look back and go where no man's gone before. Think about those words. Some people walk to the ocean, but they never set sail and go anywhere. And how often in our spiritual lives are we just like that? We know there's an ocean of opportunity that God set before us, an ocean of things that He wants His people to do. And so many gifted people, they walk up to that ocean and they dip their foot in. And that's all. They never jump in the boat and put up the sail and sail where no man's gone before. Some people look at a mountain and the fear of it shadows their mind. You ever experienced that in your life? There's a mountain before you, a mountain of things that you'd have to overcome to go where no man has gone before. There's a mountain there, and the fear of that mountain shadows your mind. And you never put on your hiking shoes and climb over that mountain. While others look up and they chart out a course. Others look up and chart out their course, and slowly they start their long climb. And that's the thing about mountains. God does put mountains in our lives. They're in front of us. They happen. They're there. And God intends us to get in His Word, to get into prayer, to get in to stay in fellowship with fellow believers who are encouraging and uplifting. And we look at that mountain and we chart out a course with the aid of the Holy Spirit. We chart out a course and slowly we start the long climb. That's what God intends. That's how we are putting our feet in the ocean at the same time we're climbing the mountain. That looks like a barrier to what God wants for us and what He wants us to do. Some people hear of a battle. You know of any battles going on? There's a room full of battles here. There's a world full of battles out there. That God wants us as believers to be equipped, to be filled with His Spirit, so that we can engage in those battles. Some people hear of a battle, and they walk the first road of retreat. God forbid that I ever walk the road of retreat for fear of the battle, for fear of the mountain, I don't climb it. Some people hear of a battle and walk the first road of retreat, while others will rush to find the front line and never give thought of defeat. God intends for me. He intends for you, His people, equipped and gifted and given the Holy Spirit to guide. He intends us to find the battle lines and not walk those roads of retreat. That's how the church, Maranatha, the church in America, the worldwide church of Christ, that's how advance happens. That's faith. When we find the battle lines, the battle lines are right here. Our young people. People who have lived their whole lives with burdens and they're all bowed over with burdens. Those are front lines. Sometimes it's older people who are discouraged and in pain and difficulty. Sick people. People who, for whatever reason, they're not developing in their spiritual life. Those are battle lines. Let's not walk the road of retreat. But it's so easy. Brothers and sisters, it's so easy to walk, to find the first road of retreat. That's not what God gifted us with. He's gifted us with the ability to find that front line and go to battle. Everyone looks in a mirror and stares at the core of their soul. We all have the choice to get lost in fear or gather the faith to go on. Yeah, we have that choice. We have free will. We can choose to take the gifts that God has given us, the abilities, the callings that God has given us. We have the choice of laying them down because we're lost in fear. The dread of the mountain. The unknown of setting sail on the sea. Or we can get in the Word. We can fall on our faith, on our very face before God. We can cry out to Him, I need help, I need help. I'm trying to go to road of retreat. Don't let me. We can build up our hearts and minds on our face before God. We can feed on His Word. We can stay in fellowship with believers who are encouraging and uplifting and who notice that we're taking the road of retreat. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us had some believers in our lives who would look us in the eye? You're taking a road of retreat, aren't you? Ask such questions. Or be alert. And I've always believed that that's one of the reasons why God has put us in fellowships. God has put other believers around us so that we're not lone wolves out there just trying to make it on our own. No, we need fellow brothers and sisters to challenge us, to ask the tough questions, to help us, to prevent us from walking the road of retreat. We need that. And we need His Word. Anything's possible if you believe. Anything's possible and can be seen. Once you get past the things in your heart that cloud what is good and true, you ever get that? There's just stuff in your heart that kind of keeps your life just kind of clouded. It's not really the bumblebees in your head. Sometimes our heads are like bumblebees nests, but sometimes it's just like a cloud that just keeps us from advancing. It's like, and they just cloud what God wants us to be doing. They cloud. It's just cloudy. I don't know how else to describe it. Let the Holy Spirit work with you on that, because so often our minds and our hearts just get so clouded. So just keep your head up and stay in the race. Others before have known this is true. Anything is possible for those who have faith. I sort of got addicted to that song. I was listening to it every day on the way to work. I just ran across it just recently. the mountains, the ocean. Just what God wants us to be doing. Let's look at Psalm 16. I'm going to encourage everyone here today. I'm going to leave a challenge with you that you find that front line, that you rig up your sail on your boat and you sail, and that you chart out your course over that mountain that's in front of you. And I'm going to be going into a section here where I'm showing you from the Word how it's possible for you to do those things, even if you've never done them before. Even if you're a toe dipper in the ocean of your potential, what God wants you to be doing. Even if you've never had a hiking boot on your foot and you've never been in a boat. I'll show you some advantages we have. Some things that God has promised and that He has not just promised, but He has given them to us so that we can set sail. Psalm 16, 5-8. Lord, You have assigned me. Stop right there. Lord, You have assigned me. And I'm just simple enough to believe that each one of us, God has assigned us for particular tasks. And even if you're thinking, okay, I've been assigned some things, but wow, I'm failing miserably at it. We're going to look further in Scripture and find out why we're failing miserably at what we're assigned and what we can do about it. Lord, You have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Stop right there. If we set sail, and if we have on our hiking boots and we're climbing that mountain. We're charted out a course and we're climbing that mountain. We are happy people. Even in the midst of all kinds of hardship and all kinds of, humanly speaking, trouble and difficulty and tiredness and weariness. But the boundary lines that God has set out for us. And I want you to take this territory. This is the territory I want you to excel in. In those boundary lines that He has set out for us, we have a delightful inheritance. There's an inner core, an inner happiness and joy in us, even in the midst of a struggle and things that we've never done before and that are unfamiliar to us, and we're like, I could never do this. And no, you stay in those boundary lines. And through the Word and prayer and fellowship, you chart out your course, what God wants you to be doing. That is a pleasant place. It's a spacious place. Verse 7. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, just like I said, therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices and my body will also rest secure. Look at the advantages we have here in those boundary lines that God has set out for us. The Lord Himself, the Lord counsels me. He counsels us. He gives us direction. As we're charting our course and trying to figure out what God wants me to be doing specifically within these boundary lines that He set out for us. Even at night, my heart instructs me. Brothers and sisters, pay attention to what God says to you at night. Because at night, it's quiet. All the distractions, all the noise, they're not there. You're laying down. And God has free access to your mind and your heart. Even at night, His heart, your heart is being instructed. Now, doesn't that help us? We think about it that way, and we intentionally say to God, would you instruct me in the night? Would you counsel me? He said, David talked about him doing those very things. And David's no different than any of us. Just like Elijah, David also was a man of like passions as us. So, we have help. As we climb that mountain, as we rig up the sail, we have help. We're not on our own. And I think the thing that strikes fear into our hearts to the greatest degree, I'm on my own. I got to do this by my own power, by myself. No. We have help. I'd like to challenge you this morning that whatever it is that's holding you back, there's a perfect position to get into on your face before God. And on your bed in the night season. That's where He's going to counsel you. He's going to tell you what you need to change. He's going to give you both feedback on what you're doing now. He's going to tell you. He's going to be honest with you. One thing about God, he's always totally honest with us. So He'll talk to us about what we're doing now, what we need to change, and He's going to plant some new ideas that we've never thought of before. Oh, I've been doing it this way all this time. And He'll plant a seed in our mind. Try this. That's going to come on our face before God. God, I need You. I've been trying to witness. I've been trying to talk about You. But I can't do it. I just clam up. That's just an example. And God will give you a new idea. Okay, so you're having a tough time talking to people about Jesus. Just relax. Talk about football first or baseball or something first. You know, get some confidence, get some rapport going with the people you're talking to. Then I'll show you a way to turn that baseball or that football or that bow or that hunting or rod and reel for fishing. I'll show you how to turn that into spiritual lessons. Just an example. Let's look at John 15:26. I said that we're not in this battle alone. I have several verses that point out very strongly that we're not in this battle alone. When the counselor comes, stop. When the counselor comes, what does a counselor do? Go ahead. What does a counselor, what do they do when the counselor comes? He counsels you. And since one of the boundaries that God has laid out for me is to counsel people, let me share a little bit what it is. Counseling is helping people. Helping people. Counseling usually starts with the heart, but it also deals with the mind. It's taking layers, unveiling layers in the mind. Thoughts and attitudes and behaviors that have been stuck in your mind for years and years and years. And using prayer and the Word of God peels those layers off and brings healing to your mind. So you don't have to think that way anymore. Removing layers. Applying the Word of God and sowing new biblical material. Sowing new ideas in the mind. I can't climb that mountain. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. So you got to pile it in your mind. That's a layer in your mind. Get off. Look in Scripture and find where you have help. You have help. When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. You know, the counselor is going to take you when you have fear of the mountain, or you're a toe dipper, and you know that God wants you to progress beyond the toe dipper. He wants you to climb those mountains and conquer those mountains and chart out a course. He's going to show you Jesus. He's going to take every thought in your mind and make it subject to Jesus. What did Jesus say about fear? What did Jesus say about worry? That's what the Holy Spirit does. What does he say? And connect you with what Jesus said about each thought that you're facing, each thought that disables you and keeps you a toe dipper. He will testify about me. Wow. That's a big help. So face your challenges. Face those mountains. Sail that sea, because you have a helper. John 16, 8 to 11. I'd like to have everybody read this in the New International Version. But I would like to read this in the New Life Bible. New Life Bible. But let's read this first. Okay, I'm going to read it in the, it's a version that just helped me take all those words like righteousness and stuff like that and put it in language that we, just like we speak to people. When the Helper comes, he will show the world the truth about sin. He will show the world about being right with God. That's righteousness. He will show the world about being right with God. He will show the world what it is to be guilty. He will show the world about sin because they do not put their trust in me. He will show the world about being right with God because I go to my Father and you will see me no more. He will show the world what it is to be guilty because the leader of this world, Satan, is guilty. We have help. And we think, you know, we're here. One of the reasons that we as believers are here is so that we can bring people to Christ. And the Holy Spirit is doing, preparing the way for us. When the Helper comes, He will show the world the truth about sin. We have a Helper because God's Holy Spirit has already been working in the lives, in the minds, and the hearts of the people that He wants us to help. We've got a Helper to help us help them. Let's say that again. We've got a Helper to help us help them. He will show the world the truth about sin. He will show the world about being right with God. He will show the world what it is to feel guilty. You know what that says to me? You're not on your own. You're not on your own. You just follow what God is already doing. And in prayer and on our face before Him, He will show us. He will alert us to the people that He is working in their lives already. And He'll bring us into a situation where we can help them because we have a Helper ourselves. Brothers and sisters, I've said a mouthful this morning. And I could have been had a mirror in front of me, I could have been preaching to myself. Because everything I've said, I'm learning myself. I'm 60 years old, but I could have had a mirror in front of me and I could have been preaching to myself. Because I'm no different than you. I've been way too much a toe dipper. God made me aware of that. And that mountain, mountains are icy. They're rocky. There's snakes. There's bears. And I, at my age, I'm still learning to give up my fear and trust. And maybe some of you are no different than I. But I'd like to challenge us this morning as the worship team can come forward and I'd like to challenge you. If there's fear, if you're a toe dipper and you've always been a toe dipper, if you fear that mountain, as you look in the mirror, and every time you look in the mirror, you feel more and more inadequate, come talk to Jesus about it. Come talk to God about it. It's okay. Just talk to Him. Because He does counsel us. He does provide what we need. And what He desires is a spirit of humility. A spirit of recognizing that, right, I don't have it. I don't have it. I'm a chronic toe dipper. I have chronic fear. I have chronic unbelief. I'm not bold enough. I'm not wise enough. The list goes on. But during our time of prayer, you can come and pray before your Heavenly Father for whatever He's laying on your heart and mind. If you're saying to yourself, I don't want to be a toe dipper anymore. If you're saying to yourself, I know that the Holy Spirit is going to help me. And I just want to come talk to God about His Holy Spirit leading me and guiding me and giving me the power. Just come talk to Him. I've already done my talk and I had a spiritual mirror in front of me and I was talking to myself. So I welcome you to come as the worship team leads us.